You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harkes.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Mistress of None. This is Erin Harkes. Very, very excited for this week. I gave a little teaser last week, but I didn't want to confirm anything because, as we know, things don't ever work out the way they're supposed to, or don't always work out the way they're supposed to. Not ever. That sounded glib and morbid. I got the chance to finally sit down with my good friends from Cersei, Melanie and Rich, Melanie Kramer and Rich Labuti. We've been trying to lock that down for the longest time. And anybody that knows Cersei knows that they are one of the most ridiculously busy groups. I can't even say in the area because they're hardly here anymore because of how busy they are and how much they get out and how much they tour. It's crazy. It's awesome. I'm so happy for them. I've known them for a really long time. We both kind of started out roughly around the same time. One of my favorite early on Cersei stories is when Melanie first reached out to me to play a show with them. I want to say almost 20 years ago. And I immediately said yes. I was like, of course, that sounds great. Let's do it. She was already kind of a big deal in my eyes anyway in the Capital Region. And so I, of course, agreed to do the show. I was happy to do it. And I told somebody that I was playing a show with them. And they said, oh, I thought you guys didn't get along. And I was like, I don't even know her. How could I not get along with her? And I said something to Melanie about it and she laughed. She was like, that doesn't even make any sense. And I realized now, or I realized, you know, after the fact and since then, that there's something that happens with female artists a lot where people just automatically assume that there's some sort of rivalry or some sort of weird cat fight. I don't know if it's like misogyny or what it is. I'm trying not to, you know, play that card too often. I don't want this to be like hyper estro hour every time you tune in here, but I noticed that they don't really do that with boys as often, because I've definitely had that encounter with, you know, some other female artists, or like I've been in a room where like a woman will sing and people will turn and look at me to see my reaction as if I'm gonna like dislike this person automatically because they have tits. It's interesting. It happens a lot. And I'm just speaking from my experience. I'm sure that there are other women that can relate. So it's true. What I'm saying is true because that is my experience. And if it's been different for you and you're a man, then nobody asked. But if it's different for you and you're a woman, then I'd love to hear from you. But it does happen quite a bit. And it's funny because Melanie is lovely and we've been great friends and we've really helped one another. I'd like to think, I know she's helped me. I hope that I've helped her navigate this business and just kind of, you know, depend on one another for moral support and advice and whatnot, especially during the pandemic, which we get into a lot in the interview. I'm going to cut this interview actually into two parts because I knew it was going to happen. And I'm so grateful that it did. I mean, one, there are technically two guests because it's Rich and Mel, but I knew once it was also our visit because I haven't been able to spend time with them. I don't think I saw them in December or January when I crashed their stage at Cafe Lena. I saw them briefly that night and they were leaving again the very next day. And so I only got to talk to them for a few minutes that night. And before that, we had dinner in September before they left again. So they're crazy busy. So the fact that we were able to find time where we could sit down and talk. So this was not only a podcast interview, it was also us just catching up and us having a visit. And it was such a delight. And even if you don't know them, which I can't believe if you don't, I mean, if you're local and you don't, that's crazy. And if you're not local and you don't, you should look them up, because there's a good chance they're going to come near where you are and you're going to want to go see them play. They're just great, great people on and off stage. And even if you don't know them, I think you'll really enjoy the interview, because it was just a fun conversation with a couple of lovely, talented people and me. And it was just a beautiful time. So I hope that you enjoy it. Again, it went on for a very long time, and so I am going to cut it into two parts. So coming up right now is part one of the interview with the Circe. If you're looking them up, it's just Circe. It's been my running joke for a long time to call them the Circe. Probably not even that funny, but it makes me laugh. Anyway, so stay tuned. We got Circe coming up with Mistress of None. This is Erin Harkes, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harkes.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Mistress of None. This is Erin Harkes, and today I'm sitting down. No disrespect to any of my former guests, but today I'm sitting with my favorite people on Earth. The Circe.
Hello, Erin.
Do you guys understand what it took to get this to happen with these people and their schedules? For those of you
we want to talk about schedules.
We're going to talk about schedules.
Let's talk about your schedule.
No.
I think it was a combination of the schedules is the thing.
Us
we're
finding
all
time,
super busy.
Us finding time to match up is pretty remarkable when we can do it.
Yes.
Just a little, I have a feeling this is going to end up being a two-parter, because once Rich starts talking, he does not shut up. I don't know why you have a mic. No, I'm just kidding. for those of you that don't know, I can't even imagine who doesn't know. This lovely duo is made up of Melanie Kramer and this dude, Rich Labuti.
Shake, shake, shake.
they are just a force to be reckoned with when it comes to music. They, my favorite thing about this band is, I mean, we've known each other for a couple of decades
a very long time.
Yeah. I knew you guys when you were a four piece.
Yep.
And the most astonishing thing to me, because as a fellow band leader, knowing how hard it is to work with certain types of people, you guys just at one point said, fuck everybody else. I believe you taught yourself how to play drums.
I did, yes.
You played bass with your feet, Rich. Yes. And you were like, now we don't have to fire any. Because I've been through my share of bandmates, and I don't have that kind of, like, I'm not ever going to be able to do anything like that. I just play solo and say, fuck everybody. Or I fire people, you know?
It is hard to keep a band together. It is oftentimes really like a very dysfunctional family.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, Rich and I are definitely control freaks, because we write all the songs.
Understood.
And we're a couple. We're married. So it's super annoying to be in a band with us.
Yeah.
So I can understand why it was difficult for people.
Sure.
You know, so.
Understandable. I mean, yes. Like, they are your songs.
Yes.
I get that. Like, for me, I always joke when I'm, like, you know, criticizing something. I'm like, well, yeah, I do that too, but I can't fire me. Like, because, like, I have a 7-piece band now. So that's fun, you know. But when, right before I put this latest incarnation together, I abruptly fired, the old band, which was just a 4-piece.
We noticed.
You noticed. I know you've heard. And, but what somebody referred to it as like a marriage. And I said, you know what? I go, it's almost more difficult than a marriage, because I couldn't wait and just date myself for a little while. I had to get remarried immediately.
Right.
And
right.
I was like, that's the difference.
Right.
I couldn't sleep around for a little bit. I needed to fucking lock that shit down.
Well, again. And that's the reason we became a 2-piece, because we had shows and, you know, we always had to spend all this time. Like, if someone would leave or things wouldn't work out, it wasn't always us firing people. It was sometimes just people couldn't keep up with the schedule.
Yeah.
We had a lot of quitters.
They just wanted to have a life outside of the band, and we don't really have one. And so, you know, we always, every time someone new would come into the band, we would have to spend all this time teaching them the old stuff. so that the fans wouldn't feel abandoned mm-hmm. because we didn't want to never do our old catalog again. But then we felt like we could never write new stuff because we were constantly playing catch up. And so the second we became a two-piece, we didn't have to do that anymore.
It's amazing to see how things kind of took off.
Yeah, they really did. I wish we had thought of it sooner.
Yeah.
But as they say, necessity is the mother of all invention.
Yeah,
so
you
we
had to
just
have this journey.
Yeah. Right.
We like to think it was a grand design that we had, but it was just shit luck. That,
yeah.
Completely out of necessity, but
yeah.
It worked out. Yeah. I've had, it's funny because even in, you know, non-musical relationships, I have found that when, like, not to be like, you know, grotesque, but I when you cut somebody out, it's like having like a tumor removed and you're making room for like better growth. And so every dysfunctional relationship in my life that I've ended, things, you know, not by magic, just got better.
Yes.
You know, career-wise, life-wise. And so you guys seem to have figured out the formula. Although I'm sure you have your moments on the road. You guys spend...
No.
We never fight. It's always rainbows and butterflies.
Every day is a joy. 8 days a week. 100% love.
And I have zero texts to conflict with that.
We wrote a song about it, actually, called Seven Seas. And there's a line in there. It says, we're waiting... Like wading, W-A-D-I-N-G, wading through little volcanoes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a song about the ups and downs of, you know, of marriage and a long-term relationship and how sometimes you have to ride the waves together and wade through the little volcanic explosions and find your way through. And, you know, love wins in the end.
Sure.
But like, yeah, some days it's a little rocky.
Well,
so
yeah, because I mean, sometimes the escape from your partner is to go to work. Ask my husband.
It's challenging.
Yeah.
Luckily, we're very codependent, so we make it work.
I get that. I'm picking up on
that. It
works
out.
And that works out. But it's funny. Yeah. Like, I mean, my husband, I'll be like, oh, you know, we should like work out together. And he's like, we see each other. And
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. Rich and I go for walks and hikes together on tour. And the second we come home, he's like, why don't you do your own thing? I'm good. I'm going to, I'm going to ride my bike. I'm going to do my own thing. You go do your own thing.
That's, yeah. I mean, I could see you having to do that.
Yeah.
My husband and I do that after 40 seconds.
Yeah.
So like, you guys do it after 40 states. One of the things that I find most fascinating is that before the musicality really kicked in, we had one, I always get this mixed up. We had one law student and one med student. Is that correct?
True.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Which is which again?
I was pre-med. I went to RPI, biology major, took my MCATs and all that crap. Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, super, super nerd. It's a funny thing because when you're young, your parents tell you you can be anything that you want. You want to be an astronaut, you know, all the things that stereotypical young people want to be. But then, you know, when it comes time to go to college, you're like, well, maybe you should, you know, pick something that you can get a job. So I felt like music was always a constant in my life and playing music, but got a little bit brainwashed by that education system. And I was always a good student, so it seemed weird to not just do something academic. But, you know, music drew me back in. I was very fortunate that I met Melanie because I feel like that connection. I think if I had not met Melanie, I probably would be some nerdy lab tech.
I could see you
miserable
being
like
one of those band camp doctors that has like the nicest guitars in the world and like just goes
and never plays them.
Yeah.
Them out.
You go to like an open blues jam once in a while. Yeah.
Being like, oh, remember that band I was in high school? That was awesome.
Like, that guy's great. What is he? He's a doctor. Yeah. And you were.
Yeah, so I went to Siena College, and I had I majored in psychology, minored in English, and sat for my LSATs to go to law school. Had these lofty dreams of being a good kind of lawyer that would help underprivileged people who didn't have access to legal defense and underprivileged people who needed help, and that's what I was going to do. And the more that I learned about the career, the more I learned that that wasn't necessarily always possible.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work like it did in the movies, and I was pretty naive. And I sat for my LSATs, and I like had this epiphany in the middle of them and thought, I don't want to do this at all. And so I walked out on the test and I like totally tanked the exam.
And, that is kind of like a movie though, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
And walking out of the room, you had like a microphone in your back pocket and drumsticks.
The curtains
opened. I dropped the mic. So, no, but at the time I was an employee for Conifer Park. And so I was working with the psychology degree with kids who were juvenile delinquents and who had drug and substance abuse problems. And so I was a counselor mm-hmm. and caseworker and a group therapy leader, music therapy leader.
Okay.
And so I did that for a couple of months and was laid off because there's always budget cuts in that field.
Of course.
There's never enough money. It needs money, but there's never enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so they laid off people who didn't have seniority at the company, which, you know, is fair.
Yeah.
And then when they called me back to work, the band was doing really well and I didn't go back. So I always thought maybe if I gave up on singing, I might go back and get my master's in social work and
okay.
do like a counseling thing.
You would be so great at that.
I don't
that.
Think the lawyer thing is for me
no.
still to this day.
You're too good, I think. No offense to my lawyer.
Counseling would be a thing
I could
do if I wanted to.
You're great at that. Like you're that's probably nice. One of like the biggest empaths I know.
Well, that's really nice.
And like that's another thing that brings me to another thing that like I'm obsessed about with you, which I will never be able to do, is how you remember and are so kind and patient with all of your fans. Like that has to be a testament to the success that you've had. I've watched you after shows and you're like, Brenda, how's Skip doing? And I'm like, what the like, are you kidding me? They're bringing you blueberry jam and pictures of their dogs and you remember all of them. And like Richie chimes in too. He remember, and you don't have like a, you know, like a assistant in your ear, like, you know, like Buster on Veep or
whatever. This is Brenda. Yeah, she has a beagle.
Brenda, she's got a 2-year-old beagle with colic and her husband is Skip. He can't come with her to the shows because he works at night, but he's always here. He's a big fan. Anyway, he watches all the live streams. Brenda, hello. How's the dog? You know, it's like, it's really impressive.
Thank you.
So I don't know if that's like the lawyer part of your brain that would also
I don't
be
think
a politician
so.
Kind of thing, but I think it would make you really good. Like,
I don't think I have a lawyer part of my brain, and that's why I think
maybe,
I walked out of that
but,
test.
But maybe the part that drew you to that in the first place. Like, yeah. I mean, I've been with my yeah. therapist for like 7 years, and when he's got to like yeah. check notes or something, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, why don't I stand out? Like, you would remember every single thing.
I just have to say, I don't understand that because you definitely stand out in every room.
Thank
but,
you.
But,
thank you. And if my therapist would just listen, he would hear this.
I also have a lot of experience with therapy myself. Mm-hmm. So I think that I don't know. I just understand that aspect of humanity. Of,
sure.
Trying your best and not always measuring up to your own expectations and, you know.
You're like that in every aspect of the life, of your life. It's not just the band. I mean, she's
that's
just,
nice.
You know. I mean, it's true.
The band is
you know?
Her life.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah
it's very impressive, though. It really.
Thanks.
I don't have that patience. I'm just not as kind a person, but
that's not true.
Yeah, it is. It's and it's okay.
It's all a facade.
I know
she's really that kind.
She's got a soft, mushy center.
She really
I
does.
I don't like Rich.
I hope you take that quote out of context. Just have me going soft, mushy center.
I'm going to take this all out of context. This is going to be a hodgepodge of me messing with you, having you say some wrong things through the whole thing. It's going to be fantastic. But no, I can attest to the therapist part of you as well, because Melanie and I have spent, we do like a little phone session every so often. Where
yeah,
we
I
just,
think you were my therapist in the pandemic.
Hey, we were there for each other. But even before the pandemic,
yeah.
If you don't mind me bringing up this, as we know, Melanie is also a 2-time breast cancer survivor. And I was having, we both had, you know, like the highs and lows of the business, we all know, you
yeah.
know, and sometimes just a regular ebb or flow for people like us feels like a devastating failure, and like we completely catastrophize the littlest things. So sometimes it's nice to have a friend who's also in it who can be like, okay, this doesn't mean the world is ending, and you know, but you need somebody like that to pick you up. So I was going through one of these particular things, and I messaged Melanie, and she wrote back, and she said that she was free for a call like a half hour later. And poor Richie has had to sit in the driver's seat while Melanie and I have done some of these. We know sometimes I'm on speaker and sometimes I'm not. Cause I think he gets bored when I start talking, cause he just starts going like, "Hey, Harksy!" He just starts like yelling from the driver's seat.
He starts shouting his catchphrases.
Those are pre-recorded catchphrases. Yeah, I have a Rich Labuti squawk box that just says random things.
I love it.
Waka waka.
Merch. Waka waka. I got the Fozzie tattoo. Waka waka. That could be a merch thing, a Rich box. But anyway, this one time in particular, I was going on and on and on and on. And I learned a very valuable lesson from this. And now whenever I'm having a moment with a friend, I will say, "Do you have the bandwidth to absorb what I'm about to dump on you?" And I say dump because there's no better metaphor for it. And Melanie let me go for 3-4 hours. And I was like, "I'm sorry. And how are you?" And she was like, "We're actually on our way back right now because I just found out that I have breast cancer again." And I mean, what a guilt trip.
No,
you know, like,
what a passive aggressive bitch I am.
You asshole. How dare you?
You think you got problems.
And I was like, "Oh God,
cry me a river, Harksy. I got the cancer.
You. It's all about Melanie." And I was like, "I'm getting like, I was felt fucking awful, of course." And I was just like, "You know what I do?" And I mean, obviously, you were like, "You didn't know," and of course, I didn't know. But like, that just is a testament to Melanie's character. Wouldn't you agree, Rich?
I would. And just a side, just reminding me of a side story, similar vibe. We were doing an interview with an internet radio station in California, and they were doing voices like they were demonic succubi.
We're not really sure.
We don't really know why.
We
but that
won
was just
the interview.
Their,
That's
their,
a whole
that
other.
Was their,
give
their,
us
their
an
their
example
deck.
Of demonic succubi.
Like, "So," they sounded a little bit like Count Chocula. "So, Melanie and Richard." So they were asking us, you know, what's the, you know, bad stories on the road. And Melanie had talked about having cancer and having to go home. And I told them one time I'd gotten like food poisoning and I left the show in an ambulance. And so after we summarized that, they said, "So, Melanie had cancer and Rich, you had a tummy ache."
Yeah, okay. That's the Reader's Digest version.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Hold on, Melanie. Can you tell us more about your stomach ache?
It was a crazy freaking gig.
It was just stupid. I had food poisoning from a place
we played
really in
Cleveland.
It was
really bad. You're underplaying it. Like, he could not stop vomiting.
The word
she just said, "You're under." I didn't know what she was going to finish that line. "Your underpants were disgusting."
It was. I just literally had to leave the stage in the middle of the show, three songs in, down on all fours, out behind the thing, just, you know. But I felt like I had exorcised all the demonic succubi that were inside of me.
Was on stage playing, and like, you know, I often look at him, but not always.
Yeah.
Right? Often you're looking at the crowd.
Well, now
and
you
you're performing.
Not to take your eyes off him.
And we were playing a song, and I like pause for a second. There's like a little pause in the song, and then I start up again and I realize there's no guitar playing. It's just drums and vocals. And I look to my left and the stage is empty, and this lady yells, "He's in the field."
It was an outdoor. It was an outdoor stage.
Where was this?
It was outside of Cleveland. Yeah.
I don't remember that town.
Yeah.
And he's out in the field. She goes, "He's in the field." And he had run into the field like a sick animal.
But I was like basically in the fetal position, like dry heaving, like because whatever it was, I didn't have any food left in me, but you know, my body was trying to get rid of whatever toxins. They took me in an ambulance to the hospital.
Because nobody wanted him in their car because he kept puking.
Oh,
and so they called 911. He puked
like,
all over
like,
the ambulance.
It was gross, but the things that were coming out of me did not look like food.
Yeah.
I don't know what they
were. And he puked all over the ambulance.
Yeah.
and the hot, like when he got there in the hospital, like, it was really bad. And I, so
they gave you good drugs for that. They have that thing that they give you that, you know, calms you down and also gets rid of that vomit urge.
Yeah.
You know?
And I packed everything up and, you know, drive to the hospital. And I just remember walking into the hospital and hearing him singing ABBA songs at the top of his lungs. And that's how I found where he was, because I didn't know where he was in the hospital.
Anti-nausea medication causes hallucinations and ABBA songs?
And I think I was screaming at the top of my lungs, the train's leaving the station, because, you know, it stopped coming up, but it was now going down.
Why were you singing?
Just because of whatever meds that they gave me, you know?
What?
And
meds?
The nurses were all laughing. I came in, he had all the nurses laughing.
Of course
he
did.
Was singing and.
Wow.
And,
all right. What ABBA song?
I don't know. I was probably Fernando.
I was going to say Fernando.
That's what he usually. He sings that one.
There was something in the air that. Now, I had food poisoning in Mexico.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Did you get to a point where you knew exactly what bite of food it was that did it?
For me, no. Like it was
just everything.
It was like a rocket. You know?
Well, mine was too.
I had beef covered nachos.
Okay.
We think it was that.
Yeah.
Mine was steak. What? Which again?
I just want to say to the listeners out there,
vegetarian.
Who's the dummy there. Now? Anyway,
when I was getting sick, because I said to my husband, who this was our honeymoon as well, I should mention, he never once left the bed. He was like, "You all right?" Like, and I'm like, "No." And I go, "It was the steak." And he goes, "No way. No. Uh-uh." I'm like, "The steak betrayed me." Not anything, not the 800 other food items that I had at dinner that night. I should also mention it was my birthday.
Oh my God.
My birthday on my honeymoon.
It was the day before his birthday.
Yeah.
You know, can I just have fucking one thing, Rich? Just one thing. It was my actual birthday and my honeymoon.
It was not my actual birthday
and my
honeymoon. Yeah.
We did not honeymoon in Cleveland.
Did you ever go on honeymoon?
We did not honeymoon in Cleveland.
Well,
I
would hope not.
We didn't really
not
have a
really.
Honeymoon.
We went on tour.
We went on tour, but some friends of ours had won a 3-day stay at a little property on the beach in
Siesta Key,
Florida.
Oh, that is beautiful.
And so
beautiful.
When we were in Florida, we had 3 days of free lodging in the Siesta Key area. And that
how
was
much work
quite
did she do, though?
Lovely.
You know,
none.
You did a little bit.
We walked everywhere.
You know? We did,
it was really nice.
It was,
nice.
Yeah.
So we counted that as our honeymoon.
Is that the longest vacation you guys have ever taken? And don't count when you were off the road with illness.
Our friends Chet and Denise took us to Kauai.
They did.
We were off the books for a good 10 days. So that was really awesome. Yes.
That makes me happy because honestly, like y'all.
Yeah.
Wow. So again, I mean, most people know who Cersei is and what they do, but they are like in the past few years, you've become more road dogs.
Yeah.
And let me try and speculate as to why that is true, because you are committed to doing your own music and you can't do that in a small market over and over and over again. Is this accurate?
100%.
Yeah. That's amazing to me.
Yeah. Yes.
That is awesome.
Yes.
I have recently made a similar shift, but I'm not going anywhere just yet.
Yeah.
But that's why that is so inspiring to me that you guys do that, that you just, I mean, I miss the shit out of you, but you're gone.
We're gone more than we're home.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
We used to tour the whole country once a year. Now we try to do it twice a year. And that is... ambitious.
That basically takes up the whole year.
Because we're driving.
Counting the times that you do the shoot up and down the coast, which is like you guys were home one time and then like I tried to, you know, selfishly get together with you and then you were like, "Well, we're going to Florida tomorrow." And I was like, "You just got back."
I know.
Oh, we'll be back in 2 weeks. We're just going up and down the coast. And I'm like, "All right, well."
Yeah.
It's impressive. It really is.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what's impressive is the calmness that he has behind the wheel. Because if I was driving us everywhere,
dude,
yes. It would Same. Be rough. I'm a horrible driver. I'm a freaking stressed out driver.
I'm a good driver, but I have no patience. Like, even on the way over here, I was on the phone with somebody, and half the conversations were like, "Get the, are you fucking kidding me?"
Like, but also, you're doing it yourself. Like, when you go on tour, you're doing it all yourself. We have each other. It's a big difference.
Doing it by yourself is definitely harder.
Way
doing
harder.
All of it, doing music, the
everything
comedy,
by
that
yourself.
Is all way harder.
I
we
talk
always have
to
each
Siri
other.
Sometimes.
Yeah, but seriously, it's. I think you're underestimating your courage.
I haven't
it's,
been on the road since before the pandemic, though, so thank
but
you.
You're on stage every night doing either comedy or music by yourself. You know, I mean, I know you perform with your band sometimes, but more often than not, you're up there on your own without a net. And it's.
But I did that because one, you know, same thing as you guys went through with the thing and, you know, with the not being able to count on people. And also, like, I'm not going to have somebody just start throwing up in the middle of my show. Like, I mean, that would be it. Oh, hey, Rich. Thank you, Cleveland.
Melanie was like, what a quitter.
I can safely say I've only had illness disrupt a show mid-show one time. And luckily, it wasn't a very, like, engaging audience. So I was able to just leave,
make it till you make
leave
it.
The stage, go away for about 5-10 minutes, come back, everything was fine, ready to go. I think you guys can put together what happened during because I've had people ask, so like, what do you do when you're on stage and you have to, you know, like take a shit or something like that? And I'm like, luckily my body has cooperated with things for these performances. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously there is some element to, like, you know, having some control over where your body's like, yeah, you're good for, I like, even bike rides, like, my body
you can
tends
sort
to
of
cooperate.
Psych yourself up or something with the adrenaline.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had the chance to open for Maroon 5. And so, you know, when you're an opening act, you usually get a really short set. And I think our set was 20 minutes. And I had food poisoning. Mm. The night before, I had eaten an egg salad sandwich. From a
vegetarian.
Gas station.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's not a wild choice.
You hear it now, right?
Hindsight's 20/20.
It wasn't sushi, gas station sushi.
It was,
but it
just
was egg salad.
It's pretty bad. So, was up all night the night before the gig. You know, coming out of every hole. And then go to the gig and in the bathroom for most of the gig. And was somehow, like what you're saying, my body cooperated for 20 minutes.
Yep.
So that I could go on stage and play that set. And then the second I came off, back in the bathroom at the club.
I went on fish oil because my therapist suggested it for a non-chemical approach to anxiety, which is the whitest thing I've ever said. And I took it and I remember, like, the second day messaging him and saying, does this, like, affect your appetite at all? Which is fine because if I'm always hungry.
Yeah.
So if there's ever a 10-minute period of the day where I'm not hungry, I'm going to celebrate that with a parade of, like, not eating, you know? And so I was okay with being staved a little bit. But then, like, as the day went on, I was like, nope, something's not right. And like that night I get home and it was even more not righter. And basically the next
And it tastes like fish, right?
It wasn't that.
Okay.
There was no taste because I wasn't eating anything. So there was nothing. It was all ready to come out the other end nonstop for like almost 3 days.
Oh, boy.
And so my husband saw the bottle of fish oil and was like, did you get the cheapest brand they and I was like, I don't fucking, I got it at the co-op. It had the Honest Weight label on. I was like, that's got to be good. No, right. He was like, no, it should never be like $9.99. Like, it's not enough for fish oil. So I'm like, all right, well, now I know. And that weekend, I got asked to open for Dimitri Martin in Albany and Buffalo. So, and the Albany one, again, my body cooperated. I got through the show. The drive to Buffalo was a little chancy. I was like, luckily on the tail end.
Astronaut diaper? What'd you do?
I pulled over multiple times. At one point, I went whipping past this truck And I did a maneuver that is not suggested to anybody else. And sure enough, I got pulled over. And I said to the cop, I go, I'm going to shit my pants. Oh. And he goes, I've heard that. I go, look, I go, look at the passenger seat. I've got fucking applesauce, ginger ale,
saltines,
fucking toast. And he looks, he goes, yeah, I'm still, he goes, you, that was too reckless. I was like, all right, I'll use this ticket for something that you should not be witness to. But anyway, but then when I got to Buffalo, it was fine. And I was able to.
Yeah.
And
it's weird. Like your body just knows, like, I can't do it right now. I need to do
it
this.
It does and cooperate.
Then the second you're done.
Yeah.
Boom.
And unrelated, that was the week that I ended up getting proposed to. So, you know, that's love. But you know what didn't help my anxiety?
And then the honeymoon. I'm seeing a pattern with your stomach.
There's a theme
and
with your love.
My husband's fault.
Romance.
Mm-hmm. There was no romance. We've been together too long. But the anxiety that was supposed to be curtailed by the fish oil didn't help when I thought about like how thin my bathroom door was when I was in there, you know, in evacuation mode. This is a great, I hope everybody's.
This is taking a turn.
Really enjoying this. Well, you also, you had E. coli not too long ago.
Salmonella. I had salmonella.
Oh, salmonella.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yep. Salmonella.
January 1st.
Should we talk about what it prompted you to say to me backstage at Cafe Lena? It's one of my favorite news stories.
I'll let you handle that one. Something shouldn't be said on a microphone.
I've already said enough, but. It was really funny because it wasn't typical Rich. I don't have to share if I don't want to, but it was really funny.
No, you can.
I asked Rich.
We could act it out.
That's too far. I asked Rich if it was contagious.
And I said, not unless you lick my ass.
We don't have commercials on this, but if we did, that would be a great time to go to one.
I just want it to be noted that I did not catch it.
No. Thank you. That's where we go to commercial. That's, yeah. All right. You guys, yeah, too much of a team here. That's great. All right. Let's talk more about music.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, so, like, what new and exciting things are coming up besides us recording our duet?
Yes, we are definitely going to be recording our duet this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're coming home. We're leaving in a couple of days.
Okay.
2 days, I think. Yep. Legitimately, 2 days. And then we'll be back at the end of June and home all summer.
Okay.
So we'll be playing a lot of local dates this summer. And we will be around and able to record this summer. So we'd love to record our duet.
That would be fantastic. Do you like how I worked that in there?
Yeah.
It's nice.
And
we're trying to record
some
stuff too this summer.
Yeah, we just wrote a new song called Stupid Little Heart.
Ooh.
I wrote about my dad. My dad has advanced dementia, mm-hmm. and it's been, you know, a complicated journey. My dad and I always had a complicated relationship, mm-hmm. and we were able to always communicate through music. And recently, Rich and I did a show for him and his friends at the memory care unit. And we had some funny interactions with the folks there. Because let me tell you, they're a terrifying audience. They will heckle you because they have no filter.
Yeah.
And they have no hearing. And yeah. So they say whatever they think as loud as they can. And one lady actually requested Whitesnake, which is not something I expected.
She had a pink cardigan.
Of course. Richie went right into it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Still having AIDS.
It was awesome. Yeah.
But we had this moment where, like, just for a brief second, my dad recognized me in the middle of the show and he looked at my mom and he said, is that Melanie? And it was fleeting, but it happened. And it was pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
You know, music, because we were singing. We were trying to do all the old songs that we know in hopes that it would spark memories. And we were singing Landslide. And he's heard me sing it a bunch of times. And just for a second, he recognized it and recognized me. And so anyway, that...
I think we all lost our shit there.
We did. We all started crying. And my dad, you know, had no idea what happened, you know.
Which might have been a little levity at that point.
Yeah. And then some guy yelled, something like he hated that song or something. Because that's like, that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
That's what they, I had a guy, we did an Etta James song and a, Nina Simone. We're trying to do all these old songs.
Yeah. We did Fever by Peggy Lee.
Yeah, and this guy's like, Jesus Christ, these songs are from when I was a baby. Perk it up. They had a piano there.
We were sweating. So, it was hard. It was hard.
It was broad daylight too, and we were acoustic, so vulnerable. And I was playing "Let It Be" on the piano for my dad. You know, doing that, and he's like,
"Oh my god!"
So it was a tough crowd, but we had that moment. And so anyway, we wrote this song, "Stupid Little Heart," about it, and. It's a really special one for us, so we're hoping to record it this summer as well.
When did you write that?
Just recently. We December. Played it a couple of times.
Yeah.
We just
yeah,
played
you played
it
at
Linda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was listening. Yeah. I knew that I heard something like that. I play a local nursing home too, and just every once in a while, and it feels good to do stuff like that, but that every once in a while somebody just says, I brought my brother with me around Christmas time, and we just did some Christmas songs, and my brother was showing somebody the cajon.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm sorry. It was a djembe, and he was showing it to them, and he goes, "They're actually designed this way because they were originally meant to be straddled and played like that." And the woman said something along the lines of like, "Oh, what do I have to do to be a drum right now?" or something like that. And I'm like, "Step away from my brother."
That's awesome.
You pervert. Yeah. But my brother looked at me like, what the fuck? That's okay. I was like, so I mean.
Yeah, it's you never know what's going to be said. When we just saw my dad recently, we just went to see him a couple days ago. And I think sometimes when he thinks about his kids, because he has three daughters. And so he was married before he married my mom. And so I have an older, she's 15 years older than me, half sister. And so sometimes I'll say her name because I think maybe he'll remember her because they go back from when they're younger. But at one point, I think he realized Melanie was his daughter. But I don't think he thought it was me. I think he thinks it's a kid.
Yeah.
And then he was asking Rich who he was. And he said, "I'm her husband." And I think he thought Rich was married to his little daughter. So he got really upset and he was trying to kick Rich in the shins.
So he was protecting his little Melanie.
"You son of a bitch." And he was trying to kick Rich in the shins.
To be fair, if anybody deserves a kick in the shins.
So yeah, you never know what you're going to get.
But then 20 seconds later, he didn't remember that interaction. No. So yeah, it's a horrible disease. It really is.
It's the hardest for my mom, really, is who it's the hardest for.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Give me just 1 second. I always get anxious that something stopped or something. So, okay. Just wanted to wait for, the saddest story that you told. Excuse me. The whole time I was just thinking about whether or not we were still recording. Tell me about the worst thing that's ever happened in your... What are you doing, Rich?
Just making sure it's still rolling.
We're good.
Is it moving now?
Yep.
I don't see it. I don't see. Oh, you have to talk to make it move. That's weird.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harkes.
Welcome back. That was part one of Cersei on the Mistress of None. Thanks so much for tuning in. Part two is next Wednesday, so please tune back in for that. If you are local tonight, I will be at Cafe Lena for my Lena Go Round, my new series. People have been a little off with buying tickets lately, so if you're around, come on out to a show. I don't know if it's the time of year. I don't know what is going on, but it's been a little harder than usual to get people to come out. And I don't like working this hard. So if you can't come, send somebody in your stead. And if you don't live nearby, then you can stream this concert on YouTube on Cafe Lena TV. I will put a link in the bio or on my website. Yeah, go to erinharks.com, get the link. It's only $5 to watch from wherever you are. You don't even have to watch it live. I think if you get it, you can watch it for like up a week, for up to a week after. Only $5. And all of that money goes to the musicians. So consider that. Even if you can't watch it, it's a nice little donation to make to keep the show going. But again, Lena Go Round, Cafe Lena tonight. Doors at 7, show at 7:30. Tickets and more info at erinharks.com. We will be back next week with part 2 of Cersei on Mistress of None. Thanks for tuning in. Much love to you all, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harks.